even taken AP chemistry is one of them. Whew! Lily and Trina are also taking AP chemistry, so I think they could test my anxiety about that. Another thing that I took last semester was SSL, as we call it, student service learning. And that was kind of cool because I was placed in a geometry class, which kind of helped out. And certainly gives me a new appreciation for teachers and what they do through the day. And then another cool thing that I'm taking right now is national global issues. And I'm about to sound like a nerd, but I love news. And so we actually spend 9 minutes a day. We start reading the newspaper at the beginning of class. And so that's kind of cool. We talk about issues kind of in the morning. Yeah, so sort of had an interesting motivation back in kindergarten. You know, in kindergarten we have the three warnings to be quiet. If we exceeded those three warnings, we'd have to come sit down and sit in silence for the rest of the class. And that terrified me, for whatever reason, it did. And so, obviously, having grown up in Rockville as well, you kind of heard about the gospel, obviously, in the Sunday school classes and stuff here in the family Bible hour. And so one Sunday night, I'm kind of sitting there thinking about going to school the next day and whatnot. And also thinking about the fear that I also had about hell as well. And so, sort of to contrast two things, you can think about the fear of going back to school and having to sit on the rug for the rest of the class that would be too loud. Is that there's really nothing you can do about that. You just kind of think you're relying on other people to be quiet, which you know they never are. So. Anyway, and so also to contrast that with, the idea that, going to hell, and there's something that you can recognize about that. I mean, you can say that, through the work that was done on the cross, you can accept, the free gift that we're given. So that was, so on a Sunday night, prayed and said, hey, I need my sins to be forgiven, and recognize that we're given a free gift to allow that to happen, the work that was done on the cross. Yeah, so maybe if you all have your Bibles or whatever, we'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verse 44 and 45. This actually came up in passing in a message not too long ago that was sort of interesting, sort of stuck out to me, so we'll read verses 44 and 45. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So maybe we can focus on part B of verse 45, and I'll read it again real quick. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. So obviously, as we know, the sun does rise every morning, and as the verse points out, it rises on the evil and the good. On the just and the unjust. So, sort of an interesting idea that, as this thought maybe might parallel the idea that we all have the same opportunity for salvation. This isn't Black Friday where you have to push and shove to get the thing that you want. We all have the same opportunity. So I just thought that was interesting that, parallels the same idea that no matter who you are or where you come from, you all have the same opportunity for salvation. Kept to myself and probably went right back to being scared about sitting on the rug the next day or something.
can be turning into Genesis, and before we start reading some for today, I'll remind us of where we were last time. So last time we've had God refining Jacob through his life, and this is what we're going to see that he does in the later chapters we're going to study today as well. But we saw him after he flees from Esau. We saw four things that happened to him that are interesting. God was used in shaping Jacob. One of them is on his journey that must have taken at least 3 weeks, maybe close to a month. On this journey, of all of the days and all of these 450 miles he could travel, the one incident that is pointed out happens to be the one location where Abraham has to be a location where Abraham had built an altar previously, in close connection with Abraham having a direct message from God. Now, it's at this approximate same place that Jacob himself has a message from God. This is his dream about the ladder and God speaking to him that way. So what Jacob heard about growing up as a child, how God appeared to Abraham, and what a grand experience that was on a few occasions when God appeared to Abraham. Now, apparently for the first time, God appears to Jacob. So Jacob is not only experiencing what he had heard about God's interaction with his grandfather, he now is having it happen to him in the same place, approximately, and quite possibly the very same place. Then he no doubt heard the story about how Rebekah came to be Isaac's wife, his mother and father, and the whole incident at the well, and how he went to that most likely the same well and had his own experience at the well, but this time with Rachel. And then his past came back again in the sense that he stole the blessing from Esau by trickery of posing to be someone else to his father who could not recognize him. So having this exact same thing done to him when Leah was put in the place of Rachel and Jacob not knowing it. And then lastly, the experience he had where he's with Laban. Laban, through the years that Jacob is serving for Rachel, Jacob gets to realize just how much he loves Rachel. Now, maybe he thought he could have married Leah off by the time 7 years were up, but he didn't, and she didn't get married, so there she is. So he substitutes Leah, and now, when Jacob goes to him and complaining about this, he's able to drive him in a completely unfair bargain, because Jacob had already served for Rachel. He said, oh, well, if you're going to have Rachel, it's another 7 years. And what could he say? Because Laban knew at that point that he would do anything for Rachel, so he got another 7 years out of him. Just like Jacob, when he saw Esau at a weak moment, he took advantage of his position of power, and he made a hard bargain to take Esau's birthright, and now have that happen to him. So, just for the chronology, though, Jacob did not have to work another 7 years before he married Rachel. So, he married Leah, even though he thought he was marrying Rachel, he got Leah. But then, he would be with her for a week, and then get Rachel as well. He would just have to work 7 years to come. All right. Which brings us to today's lesson. And today's lesson is going to involve the later times that Jacob had with Laban and his eventual departure from Laban, where he's eventually going to have to go back and meet Esau. So I have here a series of things that happened, and people looking at this might not, I guess we're probably likely not know why these things are on the board. But these are going to be answers to a particular question. And the question is, Jacob's skill or God's blessing? And this is what we're going to look at today. Jacob's skill or God's blessing. And the idea is this. In the chapters we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see that Jacob prospers. Jacob has good success. And the question is, where did his success come from? Is it Jacob's skill or is it God's blessing? And just to let you think about this, you might say the answer should be obvious because God appeared to Jacob and said that he was going to bless him. And come back to Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Well, this is when Jacob is about to leave now. Genesis 28, and look at verse 3. Isaac now speaking to him. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of people, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Now look back particularly at the first of those verses we read, verse 3. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you. Isaac is giving Jacob the blessing of God. Now you might say, well, this makes it obvious. All of the things that happened that came about as in the following years with Jacob would be God's blessing because of that which we read. And you might even go to Genesis 29 and talk about the dream that Jacob has where he sees this stairway to heaven and God speaks to him from the top of that ladder. And you might identify that and say it should be obvious. But let me tell you why this question is a real question. Suppose that, I don't know anything about Bill Gates' personal life. I don't know anything about his father. I just know that he's rich and owns half the world or something like that. Anyway, he's a Microsoft multi-billionaire. So imagine if, as a young man, Bill Gates' dad told him, son, I'm going to make sure that you're a big success in life. Okay, told him that. And then the dad moves to the other side of the world, moves to Russia, moves to China, moves somewhere, and he's kind of out of sight of Bill Gates for years and years and years. Well, Bill Gates ends up starting Microsoft, and it blossoms and flourishes into this grand behemoth of a company, and he owns a lot of it, and he's a multi-billionaire and so on. And after all of these decades, his dad comes back and says, see, I told you I was going to make you a big success in life. What do you think Bill Gates might say? You were gone all that time. It was my doing that caused me to be a multi-billionaire. It was my doing, my ingenuity, my seeing the opportunity that was there, seeing the future of computers, and I grabbed it, and I dove in, and I got people on my team to crank out Microsoft software that eventually caught on and everybody's using. And you understand that just because the dad said at a young age he's going to make sure that his son is a success would not convince Bill Gates that his dad did it. And think about this in Jacob's mind. God appeared to him at Bethel. He had received the blessing of God from Isaac, saying that may God bless you while you're out, when you go. May he multiply you and things like that. All of these things were supposed to be given by God, but where was God? For the most part, as far as we read the record, he was invisible. For the most part, he's not regularly appearing to Jacob and telling him what he's doing for him or anything like that. God is invisible, and yet things are happening. So, this list of things that appear here are a list of things that God will use in Jacob's life to teach Jacob that it is, in fact, God's blessing why he's succeeding and not Jacob's skill. So let's go through and see some of these. Jacob was, I did fail to say something about Jacob being tricked into marrying Leah. I think it was 15 years ago, roughly, that Clayton Davis was here. We were meeting in the hotel and gave a message on Leah. Obviously, I haven't forgotten. And talked about Leah, who was the one that was loved less between Jacob, between Rachel and Leah. She was the one loved less. And he goes through a lot of her thinking, through her experiences being the one loved less. He goes through the naming of her children. And I don't know if our records of Rockville Bible Fellowship go back as far as that many years, but I bet we could get a copy of it somehow, even if it was one given somewhere else. So if that you think that might be an interesting message to you, try and get a hold of me. We'll try to find out if it exists. But anyway, all right, so we continue on now. Who's in control? Is it Jacob's skill, or is it God who's in control that will bless him? Now, look at Genesis 28. We looked at 28 and 13. Yes, that's the blessing that God gives him at Bethel when he appears to him. So God's going to bless him, even though he believes he has some, may have some control over it. So come to Genesis 48. Genesis 48, and I want you to see what he says near the end of his life about what he's going to go through here. Genesis 48, and he's getting ready to bless the sons of Joseph. Genesis 48 and verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Now, that word fed is actually the word shepherded. So let's read this again. The God who has shepherded me all my life long to this day. In other words, looking back on his life, he's not going to be like this Bill Gates example that I brought up, that I kind of made up, that Bill Gates would say, no, Dad, it wasn't you who did this. It was my ingenuity that did it. No. At the end of Jacob's life, he's going to look back and he's going to say, all along through my life, God was shepherding me. He may not have known it at the time, but God was doing it. So, at the securing of his birthright, as he thinks back of that, is he going to say, it was my doing that advanced me? When he stole the blessing, will he look back and say, it was my doing that advanced me? At the acquiring of Rachel and Leah, as wives, is he going to look back and say, it was my hard work that earned me my brides? In some sense, that was the deal between him and Laban, but he would ultimately give credit to God. At the increase in his wealth, which we're going to look into in his last years working for Laban, would he look back and say, it was my acumen in business that made me increase my wealth? And we're going to see the answer is no. And at the meeting with Esau, will Jacob look back and say, it was my clever diplomacy and my large gifts and things like that that preserved my life with Esau? And we'll, if we have time, find out the answer is no. No, God will arrange it so that Jacob has to say, it is God. Now we can come back to Genesis 29. Knowing the end of the story, that Jacob will eventually realize that it was God the whole time who was blessing him. Let's look at Genesis 29 and verse 31. We're going to have the first of these things on the list. Genesis 29, verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. And you can go through and see the names of some of her sons that she has after him. But the idea is, who is Leah giving credit to for her prosperity, at least in having children? Very clear in verse 33. She says, verse 32, that the Lord hath looked on my affliction. So the first hint for Jacob, at least in this lesson, is Leah's words. Leah is actually communicating that this is from God. And Jacob will eventually see this as well. Look down in chapter 30 now, and the first two verses. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So Jacob is in a situation where he's forced to say, God has determination over this. It is completely out of my hands. So Leah and Rachel, in their ability or lack of ability to have children, is recognized through Leah's words and through Jacob's words that this has to be from the Lord. Now, Jacob no doubt would have realized this is the same situation his grandfather and grandmother were in. He grew up for 15 years with them, with his grandfather Abraham. That is, he grew up with Isaac, whose name means laughter. Dad, tell me the story again about how you got your name. And it was the whole problem of Sarah not being able to conceive. And God was the one who said, I'm going to make you able to conceive. He was taught from a child that this is God's doing. And now he has Rachel, who does not bear any children. And she demands them from Jacob. And Jacob said, this is a matter in the hand of God. Now, it's a little bit easier for Jacob to recognize in this situation that this is in the hand of God, because what could he do for Rachel? It's not like at that time he could go and spend a lot of money and have medical procedures or something to make things more likely for Rachel to give birth. No, it was either God was going to do it or not. So here, it's Jacob's skill really can't enter into the picture. It has to be a question of God's blessing. So this one was a little bit clearer and a little bit easier for Jacob to see that it's God that's doing this. And this is very practical for us today. As before we go on through the rest of them, I just want to stop and remind ourselves about the practicality of this. When we go through lives basically living life like we are making decisions and trying to succeed at whatever it is we're doing at the moment. But at the end of the day, we have to give thanks to God for his blessings in our lives. It doesn't mean that we do not ever apply our skill to something. And the Bible is full of cases where we have to. And in fact, not applying our skill would be putting God to the test, which we're not to do. We are to be responsible in that. But even though I go to work, and I work hard and earn money and use that money to buy food, which other people have labored to put together, and ultimately it comes together on my plate. What do I do before I eat it? I don't thank myself for my skill and effort in working and so on. I thank God for his blessing. This interesting interplay in our own lives about our own application of our efforts to something, and yet at the same time recognizing in the unseen world God is working to bless us. And this is very practical to us today with regard to our attitude toward God and his blessing. So we have here a case with Leah and Rachel where Jacob's skill really can't enter into it. It has to be God that does it. But in these later cases, it's different. So now, look at Genesis 30 and verse 27. This is at the end of the 14 years. Jacob has been working for Laban, for his two wives. Verse 27. And Laban said to him, "Please stay. I have found favor in your eyes, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." Now, how genuine Laban really was with these words is not the point at the moment. He may not have been so genuine. He may have been just kind of buttering them up, working for the next deal. But nonetheless, Laban's words are, if we just take them at face value, that the Lord has blessed because of Jacob. And he doesn't say, Jacob, it's been your ingenuity and hard work out there on the hills in the cold and in the heat, taking care of the sheep that have prospered me. He, at least with his lips, gives credit to the Lord for blessing as a result of that. So here, Jacob is reminded again from yet another source that these blessings come from the Lord. Now look down at Genesis 30 and verse 30. Genesis 30, 30. For what you had before I came, this is Jacob speaking now to Laban, for what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now when shall I also provide for my own household? So Jacob is able to look, he's able to recognize this increase, and he sees that Laban's words, he's echoing Laban's words, essentially, that Laban's words were that God has blessed, and Jacob is able to echo those back and say, yes, the Lord has blessed you since my coming, he says in verse 30. Now, the deal is made then between Laban and Jacob, that Jacob will serve another 6 years, but this time for goods, not for Rachel and Leah. So he's now going to serve for goods. But now it's a little tricky because there are Laban's goods, which are sheep, and then there are Jacob's goods, which are sheep. And these are going to be a little tricky because they might get mixed up. So they make a deal between them of the ones that are speckled and spotted and the brown ones and so on. These are going to be Jacob's wages, and the ones that are not speckled and so on will not be. This is before they did branding. So this was kind of a natural form of branding. That is, when they naturally were streaked and speckled and so on, they were one, and the ones that didn't have these markings were the others. Now, look down at what Jacob does in verse, verse 33. He removed the male goats that were speckled and spotted, and female that were speckled and spotted, and so on. Look down at verse, he separated the two. Verse 37. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them, and exposed the white which was in the rods. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they could conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob is a little crafty fellow, and he says, well, if I'm going to have my wages as the streaked and spotted, what can I do to make it so that the offspring of sheep are streaked and spotted? So he devises this scheme with these rods. Now, don't ask me to go into detail into what it is. Don't ask me if it even works, because we don't have enough details really to know exactly what he was doing. And from what we can read, it very well may not work. But the point is that whatever hocus-pocus Jacob was doing with these rods, Jacob thought it worked. In other words, Jacob says, I am going to make sure that I get rich, and I'm going to do it by my skill. Now, how is Jacob going to learn that his blessing is coming from God when he's doing all of these strange things? Well, the next one, Jacob's Laban's wages. How is he going to learn it's really from God and not from his own ingenuity? Look down at verse 31, look at chapter, verse 7, Genesis 31, 7. Yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be your wages, then all the flocks were speckled. And if he said, thus the street shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore street. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and has given them to me. So what's happened is Laban, when he starts seeing he's on the losing end of the sheep count, he changes the wages and says, no, okay, it's not going to be the street that are yours. I'm going to change it now, and it's going to be some other ones that are yours. So now Jacob's hocus pocus, whatever he was doing with these rods, whether it worked or whether he just thought it worked, the point is the wages kept changing. So whatever trick he thought he could use to achieve a particular result would be no good the next time he changed wages, because that result may very well not be what would be his. So if he thought it worked on one set of rules, well, it was done by the time the rules changed. So Laban's wages cause Jacob to say in verse 9, so God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Whatever he made the new rules to be, suddenly the sheep are being born that way. So now God, time and time again, is showing Jacob what's happening. Now, Jacob has a dream. He's going to leave Laban. Genesis 31 and verse 29. This is after he departs. Genesis 31, 11 to 13 is Jacob's dream. Then the angel of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, he said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes now and see. All the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray-spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. And he is then told to leave. So Jacob's dream now is a reminder that it's not Jacob's ingenuity or skill, but it is God who's given blessing. Now, he's going to leave. Laban is going to go after Jacob. Now, think about this. When Jacob fled his household to go to Laban's land, he was fleeing from what? Or who? Fleeing from Esau, who was after him to do him harm. And now he's in the land of Laban, and he's now fleeing that land, and Laban is there coming after him to do him harm. But what happens? Verse 29. Laban said, it is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. So Laban gets warning from God that he is not to harm Jacob. And communicates this to Jacob and says, Jacob, you know, I could do some bad things to you, but I'm holding back because of your God. He specifically identifies the reason as his God. We aren't going to go into all of the details. As you can tell, we've been doing. We understand that most of the people here know the basics of the story. But to keep on our theme, look at Jacob. Look at Genesis 32 and verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp, and called the name of the place Mahanaim. Jacob's sight of the angels. This, to me, is the kind of the concluding thought of all that we're going through, is that in one world, Jacob moves through his world making his own decisions, looking out for himself and being careful to protect his own interests. Yet at the same time, there is another world around him, a spiritual world, an angelic world, where God is involved in seeing to it that Jacob gets blessed. And isn't the same thing true with us in our lives? We go through our lives, we make decisions, we are spiritual people, let's hope, and we pray through the day, and we are communicating with God, but by and large, through the day, we make decisions and look out for our interests and try to keep ourselves safe, when at the same time, there's an unseen world that is keeping us safe, that is looking out for us. And Jacob sees it now with his own eyes. He sees the angels. In other words, these angels and God's involvement was always with him, but he's just able to see it at this particular moment. And that's our theme for this lesson today. A song has been written regarding the angels around us. Many of you know it. Near misses all around me, accidents unknown. Though I never see with human eyes the hand to lead me home. And the idea is that through the day, even though we think we're going through the day just on our own and making our own decisions, looking out for ourselves, God is involved in our lives. He's looking out for us. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we'll get back just like Jacob did and look back and say, all through my life, it was God shepherding me through, even though at the time he may have thought it was his own skill at work. Okay. We'll end our Sunday school there. And